Dear friends, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our Hope Canteen podcast, where we look at one of the upcoming readings for Sunday for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 40th episode. My name is Steve London, rector at St. Thomas Anglican in Sherwood Park, Alberta, and joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. All of us are priests in the Diocese of Edmonton. So as we come to the 40th episode, how are you finding yourself this week?
I'm doing well. I feel like I've had kind of a productive week, so that's good. Doesn't always happen.
For me, it was the change of weather. I know it's a little bit colder today, but I just soaked in that feeling of spring weather and slushy snow and just warm. It just smelled really good. So I went for more walks, I think, in the last 2 days than I had in the previous 2 weeks. So happy about that.
But I was kind of disappointed when I looked outside and it was minus 15. I thought, no.
But it's temporary. If you look at the forecast, yeah, we're going to have some mild days again soon. And I have to admit, I got up this morning, looked at the snow and said, I'm not going to do anything with that. I'm just going to drive over top of it.
Right. We live in hope, which is important for our reading today, too.
Exactly.
As we turn to our reading is different today than it has been in the past. Rather than being a story, it's a snippet of a long letter. And if you wish to read the snippet before we talk about it, you can pause the podcast here and read Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. As I said, it's a snippet of a letter, 13 verses out of 433. But this letter is so important that we break it up often to spend time with smaller parts and meditate on them. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a community in Rome, which was the capital city of the biggest empire of the ancient world. In the short passage today, Paul is reflecting on the promises of God giving to Abraham. Abraham, please recall, was the father of the Jewish people. He was the source where the whole story of the Jewish people leading to Jesus began. And it begins in a promise that God makes to Abraham something like 4,000 years ago. The question for Paul is, what does it mean to be in relationship with God? The name for this relationship is called a covenant. Is our relationship with God grounded in our ability to fulfill the commands of God, or is it grounded rather in our trust in the reliability of God's promises? For Paul, we need to really grasp this distinction if we too are going to have a rich and deep relationship with the living God. So, what does all this mean? Well, as always, I am happy that Stephanie and Michael are here to explore this question with me. So as you meditated on this reading today, I'm just curious, what did you think?
You know, I always find Romans a bit difficult to wade through. There's some convoluted language. He's making legal arguments. He's talking theologically. Yeah, so I'm wondering if maybe I'm not the only one, and we could start maybe by looking at some of that. I'm thinking particularly of this phrase, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. I'm just wondering what you think that means.
You're definitely not the only one to wrestle with Romans.
One of the images that seems to come, or one of the messages that seems to come in this, is that in some way Abraham was perfect. He was just so great. And indeed he was, but he wasn't perfect in terms of behavior. He was perfect in just simply because he remained faithful to God throughout his life, his long, long life.
Yeah, we were talking a bit at morning prayer today, a different reading, but about King David. And I think we get the same message from that even the great King David had some moments of real serious failure. And even Abraham, who's considered the ancestor of not only our faith, but Judaism and Islam, even he didn't follow God perfectly.
At the age of 75, he was prepared to uproot and move at a time when those of us who are around that age are quite happy to stay where we are. God wanted him to move on, and so he could do that. Let's not forget that one point in his life, he was prepared to sacrifice his son simply because God that was a test of faith that God had put before him. He was prepared to do that because he trusted God that much.
And I think that is the point. And it's a huge looking at the fallibility of these early leaders. But I want to go back, Stephanie, what you're saying, because I think it ties together. I sort of said in joke that we don't know what this letter means, but the reality is it's always a question of what's the main thing. We can get lost in details, perhaps, and argue about those. But this question of what does it mean to be reckoned with him as righteousness, I think Paul would say that's at the center. The phrase, of course, was reckoned to him as righteousness is quoting an Old Testament prophet and then applying it to Abraham, but then applying it to us as well. And for Paul, the idea was, is our relationship with God based on a legalism, this idea that we have to be perfect, that we have to follow the commandments of God perfectly, or is it founded in trust in God's goodness and love and grace and his willingness to forgive as we are forgiven through Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead for the justification of the world? And I think Paul says it's the latter. It's the faith. Like you said, Michael, it's not about Abraham being perfect. It's not about David being perfect. None of us are perfect, but God is faithful to his promises. And so for Paul, that's it. If God made that promise to Abraham so long ago, it still applies today, and we can still hold on to it.
That's quite a gift to realize that a promise from that long ago to such a different person, you know, a different part of the world, different culture, all these things still applies to us, that God's faithfulness still applies to us.
It actually raises to me, and this is just me, not everybody shares this passion, but it also raises to me the really interesting, distinctive spirituality of Judaism and Christianity. For many people, spirituality is a bit of an ethereal floating thing. But for us, spirituality is very much worked out in the dust details of history over time, through fallible people, over thousands of years, through your life, through everything that you do. It's all worked out just day to day to day. It's not about escaping the world. It's about living more deeply in the world. And I think God takes history and life very seriously.
And that's a really surprising thing about God, too, to realize that this beautiful humility and a movement, a descending movement and working through human beings, it's characteristic of God. And it's not how we would perhaps first imagine God to be.
Again, this morning in morning prayer, we were talking and the concept of whether God knows all about our imperfections came up. And the important thing here is that, in fact, we believe God does know all about our imperfections. But somehow or other, God just is willing, well, because God loves us. God overlooks that or allows us to move on, keep on, as long as we remain faithful.
And that's a really helpful point, Michael. I think in our own experience, or at least it's been my experience, it's really easy to love people who are easy to love, but it's much more challenging to love people who are difficult to love. And I think from God's perspective of perfection, in some degrees, all of us are a little bit harder to love, and yet God is love. And so he covers the gap. He makes it work because of who God is. And I think we celebrate that because, of course, that's why he sent Jesus Christ. So we could see that with our eyes, so we could touch with our hands. Obviously not us personally, John in the letter of John is doing that, but this historical figure, so that through the stories, we could see in flesh and blood what love looks like. And so when we see Jesus loving people that are very hard to love, we see that's God's love through Jesus for all of us. I just find that profound.
And Abraham is an interesting conversation partner for that, I think, because what he was being asked to do and what he was being asked to hope for wasn't just hard. It was impossible. Like most people I know that age are more concerned about whether they can get registered for their COVID vaccine, rather than thinking about God has promised me a baby and this baby is still to come. The natural possibility of that was dead and buried. And yet Abraham still had faith in God because he believed God was able to do the impossible.
He laughed at God when he was given that promise.
But, I would have laughed at God too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have been a little nervous. It's really interesting. I want to put in a plug for theological concepts. I know sometimes we want to get rid of them, but I think they're still important. One of them is this question of justification. Justification is actually a central Christian concept. It is this question, how are we made right with God? And Christians always point to the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's how we're made right with God. And why do I think that's still important? It's because I run into people again and again and again who have been to church for their whole lives, and they haven't heard really deeply this message of justification, that they still believe that the first thing they have to do is be a good person, that they have to show God that they're serious, that they mean it, that they're going to do all this, and then God will love them. And Paul is so anxious to flip that on its head. God loves you first, and then you do it. And then you ask the question, well, how do I know that, Steve? Well, Christians have always pointed to Christ dying on the cross and saying, look how much God's love. It goes the whole distance into the most wounded and dark places of your lives that you're struggling with, even to death. That is how far God's love will go to bring you into resurrection. So I think justification, what he's talking about here, is just crucial.
We get hung up on the idea that, at the end of life, in order to get into heaven, we'll have to go through this great inquisition. We have to, we'll be judged, and we have to face the solemn judge sitting high up, looking down on us. When for me, the message that is most important is the same message that we hear in the parable of the prodigal son. God is just waiting for us to return, and we'll be so happy when we come back. God will welcome us, and that, to me, is the most important part of the message.
It's always been important for me that the one who's the judge is also the one who died for us on the cross. It's the same person. It's not a stern, objective judge. It's a loving and
self-giving
judge. Yeah. One thing I do want to bring out of this letter, again, just for some teaching, is that why is Paul doing this in this letter? And again, we're reading just this tiny snippet. It all ties together because Paul is trying to bring together two groups of people who are at odds, the Jews and the Gentiles in the ancient church. They thought they could not be in the same church because how you approach God. And Paul is going back to Abraham and is saying that Abraham is the font. Abraham is the source. So let's go back to him. And what's really interesting about this is as if we've had conversations between Jews and Gentiles and now Muslims as well, in terms of how do we have conversation and dialogue. And Abraham, again, is the person that we point back to, trying to build a bridge between people who think they can't be together. And Paul is saying, no, we've got this one ancestor in common. Abraham. Let's start there. So as we come to the end of our podcast, we typically end by not only reflecting on it, but reflecting on it in our lives, what we think there might be a message here from scripture that we can take with us. So I'm just curious, what do you hear this week?
Makes me think of how important it is that our faith comes down to us as a story, that God doesn't give us a legal document and says, just follow this and you'll be good. But God gives us a story. And in the scriptures, we have people like Abraham and people like Paul who have wrestled with similar questions that we wrestle with today. But it also reminds me through these ancestors in faith that the relationship we have with God is not just our responsibility. It's not just a matter of us clawing our way up. It always seems to me that the church is a few years away from collapsing, but I take a lot of encouragement from the fact that it has always been just a few years away from collapsing, and that it's not really our responsibility to fix that only in ourselves, but that God's faithfulness first spoke to Abraham in this impossible promise, and God is still speaking to us in impossible situations. And this covenant that God has made with people still stands, that our relationship with God is not going to end based on us messing things up or not doing the right thing or whatever, that God is faithful in that. And that's where we need to put our hope.
It's certainly a message of hope. I think I read this and I think very personally, I look back and I know that I'm not unlike a whole lot of people, maybe most people. I look back and I think, well, if I had done this differently in my life, or if I had treated somebody differently in my life, I would be a better person and I would look better in the eyes of God. And gosh, I wish I could. So I carry this guilt around with me that this passage gives me hope. It tells me that the God who knows all and who was there when I was making mistakes is also ready to welcome me and just to keep on loving me.
I agree. I think that's what I'll take from this. I think this justification by faith is so important. I actually, one of my prayers every day is that I pray for deeper faith, especially as I go through the ups and downs. Some days I have a schedule full of stuff that I love doing. Some days I have a schedule full of stuff that I sort of think I wish I could just go back to bed. But this idea of praying for faith, I know the peace of Christ will go with me wherever I may go, that he'll bring me through this wilderness, he'll bring me through the storm. And so that's actually really, really quite important for me. So that's what I take. Well, thank you so much, listeners, for taking the time to listen. We enjoy making these podcasts and having these conversations. If you have any insight or thoughts about Abraham or Romans or justification, or to be honest, anything else, we would love to hear from you. Just place it in the comments below on the Hope Canteen website. Until then, we will return next week. See you later.
See you next time.